Morning, today's daf and tomorrow's daf Yud Aleph. We are on Yud Amud Beis. We're going to be starting today. Just a little bit from the bottom with the word Eisvei. It's about 10, 12 lines from the bottom of the Amud. Okay. We're in the middle of a very big sugya of tomorrow. Machlok is between Bar Pardon and Rav Yochanan. Whether or not you could be makdish an uber while it is inside its mother. Obviously, you have the total ability to be makdish the mother, and and that is certainly a basic. But in terms of being makdish the uber, so it basically becomes a fundamental question of how to view a fetus inside of its mother. One possibility is that if a fetus is just simply an appendage of its mother, this is what in halacha is referred to as uber yerech ima. And that means that while the fetus is inside the mother, it's not viewed as any kind of independent entity, but totally dependent on the mother, and really just but an attachment of the mother. Another way to view a fetus is uber lav yerech imo, that it's an independent entity, that of the mother. Obviously, biologically, it's in total need of the mother, but halachically speaking, from a status standpoint, it's considered an independent entity. L'chora, that is the machlokes between Bar Pardon and Rav Yochanan. The Gemara has not uttered those words as of yet in the entire sugya. And we are actually at the end of the sugya, we are going to say those words. So it seems.
What words?
I'll go again. The Gemara is going to utter those words. So we'll see it at the end of the sugya. But that is after spending some time on the sugya, and we're also going to at one point in time today we're going to restructure the machlokas between Bar Pardon and Rav Yochanan. So that's coming up. But in the meantime, however, let me just present Bar Pardon and Rav Yochanan as we have originally presented it, and that is that according to Bar Pardon, ein kedusha chalat lo ubrim. You cannot be mekadesh a fetus inside of its mother. And Rav Yochanan says, no, kedusha chalat lo ubrim, that you can be makdish a fetus inside of their mother. And the way Rashi set it up at the beginning of the sugya is that the divide between Bar Pardon and Rav Yochanan is very straightforward. If you attempt to be makdish the fetus inside of the mother, so according to Bar Pardon, it has no kedusha, and that means to say nothing, zero. And if it's subsequently born and you're makriv it, you're makriv chulin ba'azara. Masha Enkin, according to Rav Yochanan, you could be makdish a fetus inside of the mother. In fact, Rav Yochanan's position so clear, so powerful that you could be makdish the fetus inside of the mother, outside, excluding the mother herself, meaning the mother herself can remain a chulin animal. And according to Rabbi Yochanan, you could be makdish just the fetus inside the mother. And then when the fetus comes out and you have emergence, so then the fetus is going to be kadosh with whatever kedusha you gave it. Yesterday I brought up two issues which the Gemara does not discuss, but they are important issues just to consider and think about. One of them, Tosfos speaks out very clearly. Number one, how can you be makdish adavar shelo ba la'olam, something that is not yet in this world? So that's something to consider. Definitely, the sugya, the entire sugya over here, is not bothered by that question at all. But obviously it works. But why doesn't it offend the principle of being makdish davar shelo ba la'olam? And number two, it's mechusar zman, something which is totally premature, right? You being makdish an animal on its second day of its life after it's born, you can't be makdish it then because it's mechusar zman. So you can only be makdish it when you can be makriv it. So to say that a fetus is mechusar zman seems to be an understatement. It's certainly mechusar zman, and yet you could be makdish it.
How do you also know that it's not possible? Like something.
Okay, another fair point. Okay, so these are things to consider in the course of our sugya. Now, since the sugya has begun, we have been quoting Mishnayos and Braisos, and they have. They have been exclusively in support of Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan's position seems to be the more defensible position. We've seen already Mishnahs that speak to this point. What we've done is we've defended Bar Pardah. The Gemara has spent time defending Bar Pardah. Obviously, it is a shita. It's a position that is worth defending. And so the Gemara has done so. We're going to pick it up right where we left off with the word Eisvei. It's about a dozen lines from the bottom of the Amud. Okay, Eisvei, here we go. Okay, on Yud Amud Beis. Ein memir lo eivarim be'uvrim velo ubrim be'eivarim. Okay, and we turn to nothing other than our Mishnah, because our Mishnah obviously seems to be taking a very strong position on this whole topic. The Mishnah says that one cannot affect Temura not from a limb to a fetus, and not from a fetus to a limb. In other words, as we discussed yesterday in the Mishnah, when the Torah describes Temur, the Torah says, behema mi behema, from animal to animal, which means that Temur can only be affected from one unit of animal to another unit of animal. Anytime you take a segment of an animal, like a limb, like a fetus, so Temur just simply doesn't take effect. Temur doesn't take effect. What's the diuk? The diuk is very straightforward. Yeah, Temur doesn't take effect, but you know what does take effect? The original Kedusha could take effect. And the original Kedusha could take effect on what? Now, one of the things mentioned over here was a fetus. So once again, it sounds like that this Mishnah is in total support of Rav Yochanan. Amar lei bevlade kachem hu de Kedusha v'kaimei. So again, defending Bar Pada. And the Mishnah is talking about where it's where it's Vlad Kachem. Vlad Kachem means, as Rashi explains over here, that your animal, you were makdish your animal. Subsequent to you being makdish the animal, it's obviously a female animal we're talking about. Subsequent to that, this animal gets pregnant. Now, this animal getting pregnant and then having a baby, this is what's called Vlad Kachem. Vlad Kachem are going to have the Kedusha of its mother because the fetus inside was conceived and raised in a environment of Kedusha, meaning its mother was a carbon. Therefore, when it emerges, it's going to be a product of a carbon. It's similar to the idea, it's not exactly the same, of Kol HaYotzei Min HaTahor Tahor, meaning when something now is a product of something else, a derivative of something else, it is what its source is. If the source is a carbon, the fetus is going to be a carbon as well. So that's what we're discussing. We're discussing Vlad Kachem. The Gemara says, really interesting. Vlad Kachem, it may iman hu delo avdin ha'avrai avdin. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. So here's what you're saying. The Mishnah is talking about Vlad Kachem. Fine. But wait, it's not fine. Because the Mishnah is saying is that you cannot affect Temura from the fetus inside to another entity. But the impression of the Mishnah is that upon emergence, so then you can affect Temura. Upon emergence, we're talking about Vlad Kachem. Do you know what a Vlad is? It itself already is a derivative. And since it is a derivative, I cannot affect Temura from a derivative. Temura can only be affected from source Kedusha, not derivative Kedusha. And so the Gemara says, so if you're telling me that the Mishnah is talking about Vlad Kachem, that already starts off as derivative, I can't affect Temura. Vatanani, na Vlad osa Temura. Now we're going to see this Mishnah later on. The Mishnah says that a Vlad cannot affect Temura, and the reason is for the reason I just explained. Because a Vlad already is a derivative cannot affect a Temura on another. So the Gemara says, Hamani Rav Yehuda hi damar Vlad osa Temura. The Gemara says, okay. But we're going to see this a lot in the upcoming Mishnah. We're going to see that Rav Yehuda argues. Rav Yehuda says that a Vlad can affect Temura. And so maybe the author of our Mishnah over here is going like Rav Yehuda. Gemara says, really? E Rav Yehuda, Temura hu delo avde, hamikdash kanche. So if we're going like Rav Yehuda, so it sounds like from the Mishnah that Temura cannot be affected from the fetus in utero, but it sounds like you can be mekadesh. Amar Rav Yehuda, evarim lo kanche. So the Gemara says, we also happen to have to align that with another position of Rav Yehuda, and that is his position regarding limbs. I am mekadesh a limb. What happens? So what happens according to, well, it's a machlokas in terms of what's going to happen to the rest of the animal, meaning the question of his pashtas. Is the Kedusha going to spread out to the rest of the animal? So as we're going to see, it's going to be a machlokas between the Tanaim. On this issue, Rav Yehuda happens to be on the side of nothing happens. There is no hispashtas, there's no spreading out of the Kedusha. Rav Yehuda is of the opinion that Evarim lo kadche. So the Gemara says, so you want to now tell me that our Mishnah is going like Rav Yehuda? It doesn't seem to be going like Rav Yehuda vis-a-vis the topic of Evarim, of limbs. So the Gemara says, okay, but even Rav Yehuda comes to a point where he will agree. If, according to Rav Yehuda, if a person is just makdish an extremity of the animal, a leg, a foreleg, a back leg, a hind leg, so under the, and it's below a certain joint, so those are things where the Kedusha does not spread out. However, according to Rav Yehuda, even according to Rav Yehuda, if a person is makdish an aver where Hashanah Tuluya Bo, it is a life-sustaining aver. Right, the example that is clear is like, let's say, for example, the head. Animal cannot survive without the head. So there, even Rav Yehuda will agree his pashtas, that the Kedusha will spread out. Okay, so at this point in time, we have now still defended Bar Pada. Bar Pada says that a person cannot be makdish the uber inside. What about our Mishnah? That clearly entertains the idea that the only thing that we're limited from is Temura, but it sounds like from our Mishnah, it could be makdish. The defense of Bar Pada is our Mishnah is talking about Vlad Kachem. Next, Eisvei. Makdish Nevarim v'Ubrin Avalo Mimirin. So the Mishnah, the Gemara quotes a Mishnah that is, it's a Braisa, but it's coming up later on. Makdishim Eivarim V'Ubrim, a person can consecrate both a limb and a fetus, but Avalo Mimirim, but not affect Temura. No, it was right the first time, it's a Mishnah. Anyway, the Mishnah coming up later on, this is coming up on Tazayim and Beis, this Mishnah is going to be contrasting the difference between original Kedusha, being Makdish, versus Temura. And you have chumras in both directions. So what is one of the chumras by kachim over that of Temura? So what we just learned together. When contrasting the chumras of Kedusha over Temura, you know what you can do with Kedusha that you can't do with Temura? You can affect a Kedusha into a limb and into a fetus. And you can't do that with Temura. Meaning I can't transfer through Temura from a fetus or from a limb. Oh. That's the Mishnah later on. Once again, simplest reading of the Mishnah, it's going like Rav Yochanan, that you can be makdish, a fetus inside of its mother. So, Hachanami, so the Gemara once again gets defensive and tries to defend Bar Pada, Hachanami bevlad de kachim. So the Gemara says, we're talking about vlad kachim. Again, we're talking about a case where the karban was consecrated as a karban, subsequently got pregnant, and then had a baby develop inside of it. The fetus's kedusha is just simply by extension of the fact that it was conceived and raised in an environment of a karban. So the Gemara says, "Iba vlad dekachim, my makdishim hakedushi v'kaimei." So the Gemara says that's not a good answer, because you look at the verb described in that Mishnah. The verb is makdishim, meaning that the original act of kedusha is done on the fetus, not that it just simply grew up in kedusha. It was raised in kedusha. You were makdishit. So hachi kamar. So the Gemara says, okay, you're right. It's really difficult, and the Mishnah really does entertain the position of Rav Yochanan and support Rav Yochanan, and it's difficult for Bar Pada. But as we now turn to the top of Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, the Gemara says, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do a reading of the Mishnah. It's not going to be the easiest reading of the Mishnah. It's going to be a little bit choppy. In fact, it's going to be so choppy. Rashi says we're going to have to actually add some terms, some phrases into the Mishnah in order to read it like Bar Pada. Okay, the Gemara does expend energy in terms of defending Bar Pada, and here is a wonderful example. Hachi Kamar. This is how we're going to have to learn the Mishnah. Now, the way I'm presenting the Gemara's reading of the Mishnah right now is like Rashi. I'm saying it over like Rashi. Tosfos does not enjoy Rashi's reading of the Mishnah as the Gemara is doing so right now. But anyway, but I'm going to read it like Rashi. Hachi Kamar. Makdishim Eivarim Umamirin Behen. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're breaking up the Mishnah now into two totally different segments. Meaning the Mishnah is contrasting, but the truth of the matter is that really what the Mishnah is contrasting is Eivarim, limbs. Meaning Ubrim, even though it comes up in the Mishnah is not really contrasting the Kedusha of Ubar to Temura of Ubar. The real contrast in the Mishnah comes in Eivarim, in limbs. And this is what the Mishnah means. Makdishim Eivarim, that you can be Makdish Alim, Umemirin Bahem, and you can affect Temura with them. Avalo memirim evarim behem. So, what you can do is that when it comes to Kedusha, you can do whatever you want with a limb. You can be Makdish a limb, no problem whatsoever. When it comes to Temura, it's not exactly the same. When it comes to Temura, if I start with just but a limb, so that cannot affect Temura. The only thing that you could do with it is I can go from an animal to a limb, but I can't go from a limb to another animal via Temura. And we'll see more of that later on and why that should be. But anyway, that is the contrast of the Mishnah. Oh, Ubrim, by the way, Ubrim is just simply brought along as a separate point. The Ubrim, Shekichu b'me'iban, and as far as the fetus, that becomes Kadosh inside of its mother. And again, we're defending Bar Pada. So according to Bar Pada, you can't be Makdish the Uber. What it means is that the animal was conceived and developed a fetus after it becomes a karban. Now, as far as this uber now, shekichu b'me'iman, ein mamirin behem bevlad dekashim, ein mamirin behem. So you cannot affect temura with it at all. Bevlad dekashim b'me'iman hu delo avdin temura. Ha avrai avde. So the Gemara says, okay, so I hear that. And so now, as we've just read the Mishnah, the only contrast in the Mishnah between Kedusha versus Temura is only by Eivarim. Not by Ubrim. By Ubrim, it's just the point over there was just a Vlad carbon, the fetus of a carbon, meaning it developed inside after the animal was designated as a carbon. So the Gemara says, okay, but here's what you're saying. I can't do Temura while it's inside, but after it emerges, I can do Temura. And here we come back to the same problem that we had just a couple minutes earlier. Vatanan Vladosos and Temura, what are you talking about? A Vlad cannot affect Temura. A Vlad is of itself a derivative, and it cannot affect Temura. So Amani Rav Yehuda, so the Gemara says, okay, but we could say that the Mishnah is going like Rav Yehuda, who does allow for Temura to be affected from a Vlad. E Rav Yehuda, Ivarim Mikadeshe. So the Gemara says, okay, but according to Rav Yehuda, wait one second. What about a limb? What's Rav Yehuda's position regarding a limb? Hala Rav Yehuda, Leislei. Halma Raglashel Zu Ula Kula Ola. Rav Yehuda says that if a person is maktish in a limb of an ola, the kedusha does not spread. He does not subscribe to the concept of his pashtas. How did you understand the scenario of limbs according to Rav Yehuda? So the Gemara says what it said previously. We're not just talking about any limb over here, but specifically a limb. Okay. So what we have done so far is since the beginning of this morning, quoted two more mishnayos. Both of them, simplest reading goes like Rav Yochanan, and the Gemara is defended by Barpada's position. Lemakitanai. The Gemara now is going to suggest that this machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Barpada is, in fact, a machlokes hatanaim based on the following. Ashochet es achatas. Let's say you have a carbon chatas and it was shechted. V'umatzabo ben arba chai. And what was developing inside was a fetus, and the fetus was 4 months gestated. We're talking about a small animal, either a sheep or a goat. Sheep or a goat has a 5 month gestation period. So that means that the fetus inside now is mostly developed at 4 months and comes out chai. So now we have a classic scenario of a ben pakua. Now, this fetus inside, what status is it going to have? Is it going to have the same status as the mother? Is it not going to have the same status as the mother? So what do we have? Conflicting brises on exactly this topic. So Ketani Chad, one brisa says, "Ein anachelas ala zichrei kuhuna, vein anachelas ala fnim anaklaim, vein anachelas ala yom echad." So one brisa says, "Chatas rules, all chatas rules, can only be eaten within the walls of the azara. It can only be eaten by male kohanim. Sorry, I'm going out of order. It can only be eaten for one day and the subsequent night. So, in other words, it's a chatas. It behaves and it conforms to all the rules of a chatas. That's brisa number one." Tanya Yidach and another Braisa, Nechelas l'chol adam can be eaten by anyone. Nechelam b'kol makam can be eaten anywhere. Eino nechelas bazar, you specifically do not eat it in the Azara, meaning it's chulin. And so what do we have over here? Conflicting Braisas on exactly our topic of a fetus that developed inside of the mother. Now, at this point in time, we don't know yet whether the fetus was conceived after the mother was muktash or before the mother was mukdash. Let us now, for our entertainment purposes, I don't mean entertainment, I mean while we're entertaining the Gemara suggestion that this is a machlokes hatanaim between Barpan and Rav Yochanan, let us for now suggest that we're talking about a scenario where the fetus was developing already when you were makdish the mother. And so now, this takes us to the debate of Rav Yochanan Bar Pada. My love Tanaid, Amar Sava Kedusha Chalala Ubrim, Amar Sava Ein Kedusha Chalala Ubrim. And so now, if this is so, that when you were Makdish the mother, the fetus was already there inside, and what is the issue between these two brises as to whether or not the fetus has Kedusha or does not have Kedusha, is now going to be resting on whether we subscribe to Rav Yochanan or we subscribe to Bar Pada. If I subscribe to Rav Yochanan, I can be Makdish the fetus. And then we're also going to have to say that what you decided to be makdish it as was another carbon chatas, our second carbon chatas. Mashenkin, according to Barpada, the case of the Brisa, the same case, but you can't be makdish a fetus. So this seemingly is the machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Barpada.
If the ben was pregnant when he was makdish it, if she was pregnant when he was makdish it, then automatically the fetus is...
According to Barpada, no. According to Barpada, no. Barpada says that you cannot be makdish a fetus. Even, right?
It says to the kaimer, that says before.
That's how you answer. No. You can't, no. Ein kedusha chala. Barpada's position is ein kedusha chala ala ubrim. Right? Rashi, in the beginning of the whole sugya, says that according to Barpada, the fetus, once it, when it emerges as chulin, mamish chulin. Okay? So the Gemara says, "Lo, Hani tanai b'hakam iflagi. The mar saver v'lad discussion be'av yasan ein kedoshin. Umar saver v'lad discussion be'mei iman ein kedoshin. So the Gemara deflects. The Gemara says you don't have to explain the brisas, these two conflicting brisas this way, but rather let's change the scenario. What happened over here is you were makdish the mother chatas. It wasn't the mother yet. It was a female animal, but it wasn't a mother yet. After you were makdish it, then it conceives, and then it has a fetus developing inside of her. And what the issue over here is another issue altogether. We know that when the animal is born, it's going to be born with Kedusha. That part's clear. What's clear, what isn't clear, and what is now being debated between these two Tanaim is, when does that event happen? When does the emerging fetus gain its Kedusha? Your two possibilities is that even while it's developing inside of the mother, already its Kedusha is there. The other position is that no, it only will have status of Kedusha of Karban only upon emergence. And the Gemara says, Rashi points out that this is a machlokas that we find throughout Shas in terms of when exactly the animal, the developing fetus inside of a mother. Again, when you were makdish it, it wasn't pregnant. It only becomes pregnant subsequently. So this is now Vlad Kachim. So when does a Vlad Kachim gain its Kedusha? Either during development or after it's born. And that's the machlokas between the Tanaim, and it has nothing to do with Rav Yochanan Bar Pada. Ibai Sam of the Gemara says that there's another way of explaining the two brises. The two brises aren't even in conflict with one another. Chatan who chada mehalei masisa mekadosh behema v'acharkach nisavda v'chada minon sheikdisha mu'baras. And the two brises could just simply be describing two separate scenarios. One is when I was makdish it, it wasn't pregnant. And so therefore what you have now is Vlad Kachim. And the other brice is talking about when you were makdish it, it was pregnant. And so no longer it's talking about Vlad Kachim. But in other words, the brices could just be describing two different scenarios. Okay, Tanya. Gemara now quotes another brice. We're almost done. I know it's a really long sukkah. Started yesterday, continues today, but we're going to finish it today. Tanya, Rebbe Lazar, Omer, Kalim, V'shef, V'yotzei, Dofen, Tumtum, and Joganos, L'kadoshim, V'lo makdishim. So you have all these disqualified types of animals. Either it's a cross between a sheep and a goat, that's klein, or trefa. The animal has got one of its organs critically damaged, so that the animal will die in the near future. Yotzei dofen, the that came out via cesarean, tumtum androgynous, or what emerged from the mother was something which is gender confused. Either tumtum, the genitalia is covered, or androgynous, it is both male and female genitalia. So in all these cases, lo kedushim v'lo makdishim. So it doesn't have kedusha. It can't be makdish. That language is strange. What does that mean? Va'amr Shmuel lo kedushim b'tamura v'lo makdishim la'asos tamura. So Shmuel explains the language of this Mishnah or this Braisa. And what the Braisa means is that it cannot be on either end of the state of the tamura station. It can't become kadosh through Tamura, and you can't make something else kado through it with Tamura. Now, Rashi over here points out that consider for just a moment. There are five different disqualifications that are under under discussion, and what we're saying now is that via Tamura I can't be makdish any one of these. Now it's interesting. Rashi makes this point. You know what you can do with Tamura? I could be makdish a balmum. Right, it's one of the basic rules that we already learned in the Masechta, that if the original animal is a tamim and I want to now via tamura replicate the kedusha onto another animal that's a balmum, that works. Now I say that works. Again, we all know what that means. You can't offer it as a carbon; it's a balmum, but it will in fact have kedusha as a gof. So it's interesting that tamura can travel to an animal that's a balmum. But these animals, however, with different disqualifications, it doesn't work. It doesn't transfer. Anyway, Vitanya. Am Rabbi Meir me'achar she'eno kedoshim hech makdishim. Now we have to deal with a most basic issue. Wait one second. We're now saying that I can't be makdishim, and on top of that, they're also not going to be able to send kedusha via tamura. What? If I can't be makdish them, what kind of tamura discussion are we having? In other words, the kedusha doesn't even get off the ground. So he had tamotzi ala b'makdish b'hema v'achakach nitrifa b'makdish v'lad v'yatza derech dofen. So the Gemara says, in order to sidestep these issues, we have to come up with the following scenario. You know when you were a Makdashim? You were a Makdashim in utero. In other words, you were a Makdashim, well, for the Trefa, not necessarily. You were a Makdashim before it becomes a Trefa, and then it becomes a Trefa. Okay. But in the case of Yotzei Dofen, of Caesarean, you were a Makdashim when? In utero. You were a Makdashim in utero, and then it came out via Caesarean. Coming out via Caesarean is a DQ. It disqualifies it for as a Karban, but it has Kedusha. Because I was Makdashim before it came out via Caesarean. Now, I'm a Kodesh Vlad. Kaddish Vlad. So again, in order to get to this point, we have to start with the assumption that you can be Makdish a fetus. Now, again, if you're Rav Yochanan is going to tell you, that's what I've been saying all along. Since yesterday's daf, that's what I've been telling you. You can be Makdish a fetus. So as far as I'm concerned, I'm comfortable. Now, according to Bar Padda does not allow for a person to be Makdish a fetus. It simply doesn't take effect. So according to you, Bar Padda, how does the case even get started? Okay. So now, finally, after a good amount of discussion, almost a daf and a half, the Gemara now is finally going to revisit the Machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Bar Padda and a slight restructuring. Meaning what we're going to do is we're going to restructure the Machlokes so that the Machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Bar Padda will not be as great a divide as we had originally presented. And the Gemara now suggests that according to Bar Padda, Vlad Amre. So they said, "Bitam b'mei tamima afilo bar papa nami moda de kaddish." Okay. So look, if the mother is a tamim, and the vlad inside is also a tamim. Now, obviously, you don't know that. I know ultrasound, but let's just assume that this is in fact the scenario. The mother's a tamim. The vlad inside is a tamim. So even Bar Parda will tell you that you can be makdish the fetus inside. Lo nechliku ela b'tam b'mei balas mum. The only debate between Bar Padda and Rav Yochanan is in the following scenario. The mother is a blemished animal. The fetus inside is a tamim. Bar Padda savar. Just give me a moment. Bar Padda savar kaven de imei lo makdishin kedushas aguf. Hanami lo kaddish. So since the mother cannot receive kedushas aguf because the mother is a bal mum, neither can the fetus. Rav Yochanan savar hani kebeis behemos ninu. And Rav Yochanan's response is, what are you talking about? They're two separate animals. The mother's one animal, the fetus inside is another. And so again, Rav Yochanan subscribes to the position. I know the Gemara hasn't uttered these words yet. It's coming up in just a moment. But Rav Yochanan subscribes to the position of Uber Lav Yerech Imohu, that the fetus inside is not considered part of the mother. It's not an attachment. I know, we all know, biologically, physically, it's an attachment to the mother. But halachically, status-wise, it's an independent entity. And so therefore, Rav Yochanan says that the status of the mother is not going to affect or influence the fetus whatsoever. You could be makdish the fetus despite the fact that you cannot be makdish the mother. Okay. And so now with this stated, so now basically you go back and you have to revisit the entire sugya, which we're not going to do right now, but I highly encourage it. And you're not going to go back, and you're going to find that most of the brises now that in the Mishnahs that we read this morning are going to work out now for Bar Padda in our revised new understanding of Bar Padda, which is that according to Bar Padda, you can be makdish a fetus inside, provided that the mother and the offspring are both going to be a tamim. But once the mother is a bamum, so then you can't be makdish the fetus inside. Now it's interesting. Why not according to Bar Padda? So again, the Gemara is going to say these words. So I'm just repeating what the Gemara is going to tell us. That's because Bar Padda is of the opinion that Ubar is Yerech Imo. It's considered an attachment of the mother. So that means to say that even according to Bar Padda, even in our revised understanding of Bar Padda, he allows for a person to be Makdish the fetus inside. But it's really only going to be done through the mother. Meaning the mother almost like a conductor, if you will, of that Kedusha. Right, I'm just trying to give us a better understanding, a somewhat better understanding of this position Bar Padda. Meaning the mother is still going to be conducting that Kedusha. Well, the mother can only be a conductor of that Kedusha if that mother herself can be a recipient of the Kedusha. But if the mother cannot be a recipient of the Kedusha, she can't conduct that Kedusha into the fetus inside. That's Bar Padda.
So he agrees that if the mother is able to tamim, but the fetus is not, then still kedushat guf can happen.
The Gemara is going to explore that in a little bit. The Gemara has not said that. It's possible what you're saying, but the Gemara has not said that. Okay. So We are now towards the bottom of Yud Aleph and Aleph. The Gemara is just going to basically express the same point again, but here in a slightly different avenue. Meaning, remember now the Braisa, the last Braisa that we just saw in the middle of this Amud, which is Rabbi Eliezer, talking about the five disqualifications. And the five disqualifications cannot, you can't be Makdashit, and you cannot send the Kedusha from it via Tumur to another animal. And the question was, well, with these five disqualifications, if I can't be Makdashit, so how am I sending the Kedusha via Tamura? And you know what the Gemara did? The Gemara basically addressed two of the five scenarios. The Gemara addressed the scenario of a trefa, i.e. you were makdashit before it becomes a trefa, and of a yotzei dofen, i.e. you were makdashit before it emerged via cesarean. Okay. But there were three other cases in the Braisa of which went unexplained. So here in the Lishna Achrina, so we're not going to just repeat the point again, but we're actually going to repeat the point, but explaining the last three cases of the Braisa. Lishna Achrina v'aklayim v'tumtum v'ajugnas yatamot yala bevlad dekachim. Now, as far as kalayim and tumtum and androgynous, so that is going to be only in the case of vlad dekachim, meaning that the kedusha takes place on these animals when they are fetuses. So the Gemara says, "Zuchar Rabbi Yehuda Shaya Omer Avlado Satemura." So, and now, the idea is as follows: is that they become kadosh in utero. At this point in time, they don't have that psul, even though we all know, right? Tumtum and androgynous seemingly are congenital issues, and so therefore, if it disqualifies them from becoming a carbon when they emerge, so one can make the argument that they're also going to be disqualified even in utero as well. But what the Gemara now is suggesting is that it's not that you are makdish the fetus inside of the mother, but rather you are makdish the mother. Then subsequently the mother conceived and developed a fetus inside. Under those circumstances, even though what the fetus is either tumtum or androgynous or kalayim, and yes, those are congenital issues, but still, because the mother is a carbon, the fetus is going to be a carbon as well. And what we're saying is that when... No carbon. What do you mean? Carbon.
Well,
I mean, puzzle, but a carbon. You're going to have kedusha as a goof. And now, upon emergence, so here's what we're saying. We're saying that when they emerge, they can't transfer kedusha through tamura. Now, again, a vlad already is a derivative. Don't we know that a derivative cannot affect tamura? So the Gemara says, "Halein." I'm sorry. So uche Rabbi Yehuda shaya omer avlado sa tamura. And the author of this brisa is Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that a vlad can affect tamura. Halenu de lo kashi gufay aval uber macherim kedoshim. So, and now the Gemara makes the following observation. So these animals do not have kedusha zaguf, but standard fetuses do receive kedusha zaguf. So amar abaye tambe me tamima divrei hakol kadosh gufay. Now here the Gemara is going to repeat the point that we already made, a revisement of Bar Prada's position. If it's a tambe me tamima, so then, for sure, you can be makdish the fetus inside. And Rav Yochanan Savar Uber Lavi Yerech Imohu. Finally, at the end of the sugya, the Gemara utters the words that Rav Yochanan is of the opinion that Uber is Lavi Yerech Imohu. And even though I can't be makdish the mother with kedusha zaguf, Vlad Mia Kaddish Lugufe, I can be makdish the Vlad because the Vlad exists independent halachically of its mother. Okay, I can. Okay, so that is the end of a long sugya. We're not actually even fully done with it as of yet, but still. So now we have gone through, since yesterday's daf, since the Mishnah and Yud Amud Aleph, we have gone through the machlokes between Bar Prada and Rav Yochanan in terms of the ability to be makdish a vlad inside of the mother. Rav Yochanan says you can be makdishit totally independent of the mother, even to the exclusion of the mother. That's Rav Yochanan Shita. Whereas according to Bar Prada, you can't. But now in Bar Prada's position of you can't, so now it's been modified since the beginning of the sugya. That means that according to Bar Prada, you can. Depends. If the environment is right, so then you can be makdish the vlad. What does that mean, environment right? If the mother's a tamim, then you can be makdish the vlad. If the mother's a balmum, you cannot be makdish the vlad. Meaning, Bar Prada subscribes to Ubar Yerech Imo, and the only way you can instill, place kedusha into the fetus is only if the mother serves as a conduction of that kedusha.
The Baal Mum can be used for temura.
Huh?
Baal Mum can be used for temura.
Right.
So what's the difference it makes? It's inside or outside, or the fetus or not?
But we're just discussing the ability to be makdish, to be makdish.
So if it's outside, it can also makdish. When the fetus comes out, you can makdish it. If it's about it's a tumtum or whatever.
You can't be makdish. No. In other words, those disqualifications.
Not makdish. They can use it as a tumura.
You can't use it for tumura as well.
Badmum, you cannot. Tumtum, you cannot use for.
No, you cannot. I'm Rav Yosef Alov Mugdashim Homer Regular Shulzu. Okay, as then now we turn out to the top of Yad Alpha Mabez, Tan Rabban, the Gemara quotes the Brisa Yochel Amar Ragla Shuzu Ola, Tekul Ola, Tamalomer Kol Asher Yiten Memenol Hashem Yekodesh, Memenol Hashem Velo Kul Ola Hashem. Okay, so the debate that we had earlier, here we have the Brisa that spells it out, and that is the following. If I makdish the leg of an animal, so does the Kedusha spread out to the rest of the animal, the idea of his pashtus? So this is a Machlokas Tanaim, and this is the Brisa that spells out the machlokas. According to the Tana Kama is Rabbi Yehuda, as we'll see in just a moment. According to the Tana Kama of this Brisa, there is no idea of his pashtas, which means, and he just quoted a pasuk, and I'm going to reread the pasuk. Kol asher yiten mimenu l'Hashem yekadosh. So from it is going to be kedusha. There's an idea in which part of an animal can be kadosh. How could part of an animal be kadosh? So mimenu l'Hashem v'lo kulo l'Hashem. Yachol teitzel l'chulin. What does that mean? Well, maybe none of it. Meaning maybe Kedusha is all or nothing by an animal. Tamalom or Yeh Kodesh. No. Yeh Kodesh comes to tell me that whatever limb I was makdish, that limb is going to have Kedusha. Haketzad. So what are you going to do? Right? It is one of the strangest things in Halacha. Where you have an animal walking around with a leg that has Kedusha as a guf. And the rest of the animal, regular chulin animal. It's weird, to say the least. So Timakal Sarcheolus Vedamea Chulin, Chutzmi de Me Aver Shaba Div Rabbi Meir Virabi Huda. So according to the opinions of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Huda, so there is no spreading out of the Kedusha. The Kedusha maintains only by the leg. And so therefore, what are you gonna do? So you find a buyer. Right? Somebody who himself needs a carbonola. And so what you're gonna do now is you're gonna be selling this animal to somebody who needs a carbonola. And so therefore, the proceeds of that sale now are going to be totally chulin because he's going to inject kedusha into the animal. The only thing you can't do, you can't sell the leg. You can't sell the leg because the leg already has kedusha. So you assess the animal, the value of the animal minus the leg, and you sell that to somebody who needs a carbon. The Gemara later is going to ask the question, just foreshadowing. That person who already committed himself to bring a carbonola, so he brought most of it. In other words, that leg, he wasn't makdish. So how does that satisfy his neder?
Does he own it? He doesn't own it.
Well,
or does he own it?
No. In other words, the leg?
Yeah.
No. The leg, he wasn't makdish. So he wasn't makdish. So how did that satisfy his obligation? The Gemara later is going to ask that question. I'm just foreshadowing. Rabbi Yossi. Now, in our Gemara, we have the words Rabbi Yossi vi Rabbi Shimon. Perhaps the Gersa is Rabbi Yossi. It could either be Rabbi Yossi ber Rabbi Shimon, or it could be Rabbi Yossi ber Rabbi Shimon Omrim. Okay, number ways of cleaning up the gears. So anyway, Omer mi nayin la Omer raglash shel zu olah shekula olah shenemer kol asher yitei memen al Hashem kishu Omer yeh kodesh l'rabos is kula. The yeh kodesh of the pasuk is telling us that the entire animal is going to be kodesh, meaning his pashtus. The kedusha spreads out to the rest of the animal. So fine. And that is, so here we have the most basic machlokes between the Tanaim, whether or not Kedusha spreads or Kedusha does not spread. Now, the Gemara Amamar Timakal Tzarchel Zvahakamaisi Behema Mechuseres Aver. Here the Gemara asks the question. I don't understand. For our person who committed himself to bringing a carbonola, and so he purchased an animal where most of it he has the ability to consecrate as an ola, but except minus that one leg. But minus that one leg, he committed to providing a full carbonola. So he comes up just a little bit short, a leg short on his pledge. So how does that work? I'm a Rava, but Omer, Hare Alai, Ola Bechayeha. So, super, super specific scenario. The Gemara says, well, you know what his pledge was? His pledge was that he's only going to be bringing the necessary amount of an animal that its life is dependent upon. Meaning, you know, the extremity is fine. I right, they'll come along for the ride. But as far as my pledge is concerned, ola bechayeha. Whatever its life-sustaining portion of its body is concerned, that's the part that I am interested in giving. Okay, finding a match between that seller and that buyer,
right.
I think would be challenging. Okay. Now, Rabbi Huda does not subscribe to his pashtas. Your makdisha leg, the leg remains kadosh to the exclusion of the rest of the body. In of itself, a fascinating idea. But it's based on a drasha. What the Gemara now is going to advance is that even Rabbi Huda will agree that it gets to a certain point in time where the limb that you are makdish was such a critical limb to the animal and the functioning of the animal that even Rabbi Huda will have a point where he's going to agree that Kedusha will spread. Now, what that point is going to be, I know it's going to be funny to say this, but there are three opinions amongst the Amoraim. When I say it's funny because basically we're looking at the difference between a limb that's critical for its life versus a limb that's not critical. And how does that now develop into three different opinions? What we're going to see right now. So Amar Rav Chista, Moda Rav Yehuda B'Davar Shosa Osa Treifa, if the limb, had I removed it, would render the animal Treifa, even Rav Yehuda would agree his Pashtos. Rav Amar B'Davar Shosa Osa Nevela. Rav is of the opinion that anything that would render the animal Nevela, sounds awfully similar. There's obviously a difference the Gemara is going to highlight. Rav Sheshes Amar B'Davar Shi Mesa. And Rav Sheshes is of the opinion that anything that would cause the animal to die. So basically these three Amoraim, Rav Chista, Rava, and Rav Sheshes, are all basically saying the same thing. If this limb that you are makdish was such a critical limb to the life of the animal, his pashtas. The kedusha is going to spread to the rest of the animal. But there are three different ways to say it over. Something that is going to render it a trefa, something that's going to render it a nevela, something that will cause immediate death. It sounds all the same, so there are differences, subtle differences. So the Gemara now is going to first highlight what's the difference between Rav Chista and Rava. So Ika ben Treifa Chaya. So what they're arguing about is one of the most basic machloksim that we saw in the third parak of Chulin. We know what the Treifas are. Not open for discussion. The Mishnah is very clear in diagramming anatomically what exactly all the Treifas are in an animal. What is open for debate is that when the animal is a Treifa, does that also mean that the animal's life is going to be, its life expectancy is not more than a year? Or no? Even with one of the Treifa perforations, the life can extend even beyond a year. This is the machlokus of whether Treifa Chaya or Treifa Eina Chaya. So, and the Gemara points out, Rav Chista Savala Kaman Amar Treifa Nechaya. Rav Chista is of the opinion that Treifa does not live. So that means that the animal being a Treifa and its life expectancy is going to be no more than a year. So fine. So that means then that if the animal is rendered a Treifa, that is now critical. Rav Savala Kaman Amar Treifa Chaya. And Rav is of the opinion that the Treifa can, in fact, live. Meaning, we do not necessarily correlate the animal being a Treifa and its life expectancy to be anything less than a year. They're not correlated. Umay Ika bein Rav l'Rav Sheshes. Now, what's the difference between Rav and Rav Sheshes? Rav said, whatever renders the animal nevela. Rav Sheshes talks about immediate death. Isn't that the same thing? Ika bein ayu de Rav Elazar dam Rav Elazar nitla yerech v'chalal shalal nevela. Rav Savala Karebi Karebi Elazar, Rav Sheshes Lo Sever Karebi Elazar. A leg was ripped out. The leg was ripped out all the way by the ball and socket connection to the hip. And so under those circumstances, is the animal an instant nevela? Even though the animal is, quote unquote, still alive, is the animal still considered an instant nevela? Now, Rav Elazar's position is the animal is considered an instant nevela. And so the divide between Rav and Rav Sheshes is whether they subscribe to Rav Elazar or they don't. Rav does subscribe to Rav Elazar, and Rav Sheshes does not subscribe to Rav Elazar. So that means that even as the hip has been removed out of the socket, so if I don't subscribe to Rav Elazar, the animal is not in instant nevela.
Rav Elazar thinks that taking that off is dead?
Nevela. The animal's a nevela. Even if it's an oddity. We discussed this back in Chulin.
Right.
It's a bit of an oddity where the animal's not dead, but it's still rendered a nevela. Okay, you're right.
Nevela is like imminent death.
Yeah, I mean, nevela is just generally nevela is generally death. But okay, anyway.
So what's the difference then with nevela and the immediate death that Rabbi Sheshet says?
Rav Sheshet says that the animal has to be actually dead, meaning this halachic death where the hip is removed and the animal now is status-wise in the vela, so Rav Sheshes will tell you, okay, but that's not death. Death means the animal has to be dead.
Yeah, you could say that according to Huber, you metamer with the veil.
Correct. Correct. Right. That's right. That is correct. Meitzvei Amar Rebin. I'm sorry. Amar Rebbe. Okay, so the Gemara now is going to be bothered by the following brisa, meaning we've just laid out, we know there's a machlokes between Rav Yehuda and Rav Yossi regarding the topic of ispashtos. We also know that, as the Amoraim have just told us, that there's comes a breaking point where Rav Yehuda will agree. Now, on this question of when Rav Yehuda agrees, so we have now another brisa that seems not to give that impression, that Rav Yehuda is going to have a breaking point. Amar Rebbe Nirin Div Rebbe Yehuda B'davar Shein Hashem Atuliyah Bo, V'Div Rebbe Yossi B'davar Shein Hashem Atuliyah Bo. So here we have a classic construct where Rebbe says, I'm splitting the difference between these two positions. I think Rebbe Yehuda is right if the limb is a critical limb. I think Rebbe Yossi is right if the limb is not a critical limb. Now this is Rebbe coming with a compromise. Now if Rebbe's providing the compromise, what does that mean regarding the original positions? They don't agree at all with each other. And that's exactly the Gemara's point. So, Lav mechal de palagala de Rabbi Yehuda. Now, Bishlam and Aaron div Rabbi Yehuda bedavr shein neshama tuliya ba mechal de palagala Rabbi Yossi. So, yet we know that Rabbi Yossi disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda by a non-life-threatening limb. But Ella nirin divrei Rabbi Yossi bedavr shein neshama tuliya ba lav mechal de palagala de Rabbi Yehuda v'tu yufta de kulu. But on the other hand, you're telling me that Rabbi Yossi would Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda disagree regarding even a limb that's life-threatening, well, that means that Rav Yehuda is on the extreme position of there's no hispashtas. Even if the limb that you're a makdish is a life-threatening limb, there's simply no hispashtas. That seems to be the core position of Rav Yehuda, but that goes against everything we just learned. The opinions of Rav Chista and Rava and Rav Sheshes all say, variations of how they say it, but they all say that there's going to be a breaking point, that when the limb is so critical that the animal cannot survive without it, so then his pashtos. So the Gemara says, you misunderstood Rebbe. Rebbe wasn't making a compromise between the two positions. He was telling us how to understand the two positions. He was just teaching us how to properly understand the positions. Proper understanding meaning that even Rabbi Yehuda will agree to Rabbi Yossi that if the limb is such a critical limb that the animal cannot survive without this limb, so then he would agree his pashtas, that it spreads out. By Rav Bo, Mahu. The Gemara, just we'll do a couple questions and then we'll wrap it up for today. Rav wants to know regarding a bird. So behema merchmana bahala behemahi. So do we say this idea of his pashtas is true by an animal? The Torah's usage in the pasuk that we quoted above is specific to an animal. On the other hand, the Torah does use the word carbon. And so therefore, this is in fact viewed as a carbon. A bird is a carbon. And so therefore, we would argue as pashtas. Rashi, interestingly, over here says the question was asked within Rabbi Yossi's position, where Rabbi Yossi does subscribe to his pashtas. Okay. By Rabbi Hikdish Eivor L'damav, Mahu, the Tetuach Le Kedushas Hagof. Okay. Let me do this little bit of Gemara, and just to get us to the Teku, a couple lines down from here, but just a very, very short introduction. As we learned earlier in our Masechta, if the animal is a perfect animal, non-blemished, so when you're Makdisha, your Makdisha is a carbon. What if you're Makdisha for Bedek HaBayis? So, no good. Meaning you violate a lav. We're going to learn together right now that Rava's position is that if I was Makdish an animal, that's a tamim, immediately what happens to, and I'm makdish it for so that to earmark its value to be used as a carbon, so what's going to happen is immediate upgrade. It is going to become a carbon. And if you think about it, it makes perfect sense. Why would I go through the trouble of selling this animal and using the proceeds for the purchase of a carbon, when meanwhile, this animal itself can be used as a carbon? So what happens is immediate upgrade. Right? It's according to Rava, it just happens. It just immediately upgrades to becoming a carbon. Now with that in mind, the Gemara's question is as follows. Let's say I subscribe to the Rav Yossi's idea of his pashtos, where the kedusha spreads out. Let's say I'm makdish the limb of an animal, but what I want is that limb not to be used as a carbon, but earmarking its proceeds for a carbon. So now, in order to get the animal to become a carbon, we really need two steps. Step number one, the kedusha spreading to the rest of the animal. Step number two, the upgrade. So basically, the Gemara's question is, do we say these two steps? By Rava. Hikdash eva l'dam of mahu. Detechus le'kedushas aguf. Mi amar. Now I'm going to follow the Shita's reading of the Gemara. Skip the rest of this line and just move to the next line. Mi amar. Mi de akdash elechad eva akdash elechule. So by virtue of the fact that I was makdash one limb, the kedusha spreads out. Odil machad migo amar, tre migo lo amar. So the Gemara says, but here it would be two steps. Step number one, spreading of the kedusha. Step number two, upgrading the kedusha from damim to kedusha zaguf. Amar tishulei midide damar Rava hikdash echal adam of kadosh kedusha zaguf. So the Gemara says, yeah, but didn't Rava teach us that if I'm makdash an animal, immediately it upgrades to kedusha zaguf? So the Gemara says, yeah, but that was only one step. Hasam de akdash lekulei hacha de akdash echad ever mai. So there you are makdash the entire animal for its value to be used as a carbon. Okay, so there, simple upgrade. So there, it's basically moving from business to first class. Mm-hmm. So there, the animal has kedushas bedek habayis, kedushas damim, but because the animal is a non-blemish animal, so I give it the immediate upgrade to a kedushas aguf. But over here, I'm being makdish the aver, so first I need hespashtas. Then we have the upgrade. Okay, that's going from coach to first class. So the Gemara says, take it. The Gemara leaves this question unresolved. Okay, let's recap our day today. Okay, over the course of today. So we finished off the machlokas between Bar Pada and Rav Yochanan. It took up half of our day today, really more, but it took up half of our day, the first half of today's Amud, discussed the machlokas of whether or not you could be makdish in Ubar to the exclusion of its mother. Rav Yochanan says you can, and Bar Pada says you cannot. But in our revised understanding of Bar Pada, he has somewhat more of an agreement with Rav Yochanan. Bar Pada is of the opinion that you can be makdish a fetus inside of the mother, provided the mother is a tamim. So then under those circumstances, you can be makdish. But if the mother is a bamum, you cannot be makdish the fetus there inside. But we follow like the opinion of Rav Yochanan, that you can be makdish a fetus inside of the mother to the exclusion of the mother. Subscribing to the rule of ubar, lav yerech imo hu. So just in terms of the ubar yerech imo, ubar lav yerech imo, if we can all file it away in a place hopefully where we all remember, myself first, and everybody else also, if we could file it away, the Gemara and Tumor and Daf Yud Aleph certainly subscribes to Rav Yochanan's rule of Uber Lav Yerech Imo. But again, contextually, we're not talking about human, and we're talking about an animal and the ability to be makdish the fetus exclusive to the exclusion of the mother, which the Gemara subscribes to. The second half of today's Daf touched on his pashtas, on whether or not Kedusha spreads from a limb to the rest of the animal. Rav Yehuda does not subscribe to his pashtas. Rav Yossi does subscribe to his pashtas. And then the question of, is Rav Yehuda going to have a breaking point where even he's going to agree if the limb is a critical limb? The Amoraim say yes. And the Gemara supports the Amoraim. Subtle differences between Rav Chista, Rav, and Rav Sheshes, exactly how to express this critical limb, but the Amoraim all say that there is going to be Rav Yehuda will concede to his pashtas at a critical juncture. And then finally, the last thing we discussed today, a couple questions regarding his pashtas. Do we say his pashtas by a bird? Not clear. The Gemara leaves that question unresolved. Do we say his pashtas so that the Kedusha spreads and the animal also is going to be receiving an automatic upgrade from Kedusha's Damim to Kedusha's Aguf? That question also is left unresolved.